Yes. In kind of that mellow mood today, need a little boom-ba-dee-da. Radio fishing, as you might have guessed. Fish and Frank here in the chair, and Robert in the chair across from me, and we're going to be doing the area fishing report. Everybody's ready for that? Shut up, Frank. Okay, Frank's done with that. All right. Now Frank can get on back to business because Frank's done. Okay. All right. So, what's going on in the wide world of harbor? Where are we going today?
Let's see. Let's start in the Upper River because that's quick.
Okay. Are we talking Peace River?
Yeah. Okay. Upper Peace River.
All right. Upper Peace River.
Let's start at Arcadia.
All right.
Nothing's happening.
Nothing's happening.
There are still a few tarpon scattered around throughout the whole Upper River, but the snook have kind of moved down a little bit and quieted down. The few redfish that are being caught up there, just you're working at it. You're working at it really hard. I mean, it's just more of an enjoyable boat ride to see the scenery because, I mean, it's still so flooded up there in the woods and everything.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got quite a bit of boat traffic in the late afternoon all through the night with the gator hunters.
I'm hitting fishandfranks.com quick. And what's going on now with the gator hunters?
There's a lot of gator hunters up there. So from like 5 or 6 o'clock at night, you got guys running up and down the river all through the entire night. And basically, I think they have to finish by like 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, on the 10th, it was at a little over 9 foot. And we're down now to about 5.5 foot. It's been falling around a foot a day for the last few days. So we're around 5.5 foot right now in Arcadia, which means we've got 5.5 minus 2, 3.5 foot wall of water coming at us yet. So,
oh, yeah.
But it was 9 foot at the beginning of the week. So it's dropped significantly. We're down to 1,230 cubic feet a second coming down the river, which 1,230 times 7 gives you a water flow per second. So
yeah, that's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water. So anyway.
Plus, you know, like anything else, even though the river is slowing down, the rains are subsiding, air temperature is dropping, it still takes a long time for the fish to catch up to that. You know, everyone thinks because the rains stop here that all of a sudden there should be fish up there miraculously within 2 or 3 days of having no rain, or when the water temperature or the fronts come through and the air temperature drops nice and chilly, everyone automatically thinks
right,
it's perfect for
things
this.
Things are instant nowadays.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah, it's
anyway.
A computer.
Yeah, it's okay. I want it now. I want a lot of it. I want it really cheap. So anyway, the tides for the next couple of days are pretty nice. Around 10, 11 o'clock in the mornings, we've got some moderate high tides, about a 1.5, which is a good, that's actually touching on tides. I don't consider a tide high until it hits 1.5.
Right.
And 1.5 and over to me is a high tide. 2 foot's our average high tide. That's the one we hope for.
Right.
2.0 tide. But right now this week around 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning, we are looking at around 1.5 highs. Lows at about, well, let's see, that's going to be about 0.5. So you got decent lows, fair amount of water moving. So the fishing is going to be pretty good throughout the harbor here in the next few days. But best times to get there, dark 30 in the morning. And by you really want to be set up and fishing between 8 and 9 o'clock because that's you're going to really start getting the best water flow of the day right after that. So, you know, and then keeping around 11, the water's going to slow down, and then the tide will start going out. So you've got a little bit of mediocre fishing middle of the day, but right after that, it's going to kick back up. The outgoing tide will be all right.
There you go. Probably your minor feed will probably be during that, right around that 11, 12 o'clock hour, I'm guessing, because of the moon where it's at.
It should be. I'm not sure. We're doing Peace River. What about 41?
Once you start cruising down from the Peace River, you know, start looking for tarpon. You know, from basically Harbor Heights is a better concentration. 75 a little better. 41 a little bit better. But from the 41 cruising down through the center out towards the holes, you know, basically just running straight down through the center, the tarpon are scattered all over the place throughout there. It's pretty impressive. There's a lot of ladyfish and obviously a pile of catfish. There's no shortage of them. But the tarpon has been phenomenal, especially seems like on that incoming tide has been a little bit better better feed the last couple days for the tarpon. But they are feeding all day long. So you get that little low when the tide switches around a little bit. But catch yourself some ladyfish. Use a whole ladyfish. Throw them out there. Drift them around. Look for rolling fish. Cast to them. Bait busters are still the king as far as artificials go. Storm lures would be another one. The swimming mullet from DOA is another real good one to use. That's pretty much it with the tarpon, guys. I mean, there's just so many out there and assorted sizes. The majority of the little guys, the little 10 to 30 pounders that we were talking about a week ago, they really dumped back into the canals hardcore. So there's only a few little ones out there. The majority of those fish are running like 60 to 120 pounds right now in the harbor, which is fun. Especially you get those 60 pounders, they tend to jump a lot more and they're a little faster to fight.
All right, this weekend you've got major feeds. Just if you get there between 10 and noon, major feed corresponds well with the kind of around the tide, but it's at the change of the tide, so it's not going to be quite as good. But you got a major feed between 10 a.m. and noon. You got a minor feed at that's 4:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. So 10 o'clock to noon and 4:30 to 5:30 on the minor. But the major feed's good right in the middle of the day.
Nice.
It would hopefully that tide swaps out a little bit on there. I would like, you know.
And the only reason why I bring up that major minor thing lately is because it seems to have made a profound impact. I mean, the other day, Kale had a phenomenal day on the water, and that was at about 10 o'clock in the morning or so. Like 3 days ago, and that would have been about perfect for one of the minor feeds.
Right. It's been right now they're hitting between 2 and 3, and it's going to switch a little bit later as the week progresses.
Okay.
But the major feed yesterday was about from 6 to 9, and today it's going to be 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and then it switches a little bit later each day of this week because moon changes every day.
Right, absolutely.
But for this weekend, you know, get there around 11 o'clock is your major feed, so hour before, hour after.
There you go. So, going back up by the 41 bridge a little bit, I know I kind of segued with the tarpon, but there's just such a good trail of them throughout that whole section. It's just worth kind of focusing on that. But at the 41 bridge, it's picked up a little tiny bit, a few whiting, an oddball trout, oddball cobia. But still relatively slow on this end. You go over into the PGI canals, and that's still doing pretty consistent for the mangrove snapper, which really never seemed to slow down at all this whole summer, which has been great. There are some snook on the lights. The water is still really, really dark, so the lights are not standing out the way they normally would. But you get around those and you're finding some snook, a lot of juvenile tarpon at night. They're doing pretty well. Black drum are doing very well. A few redfish been coming up, popping up inside there. Most of those redfish that I'm hearing about over there in the PGI canals are smaller size. They're in that under, you know, 16 to 20 inches. Not a lot of them, but enough where it's worth mentioning.
That's good.
Trying to think what else has been going on there, because I've heard kind of hodgepodge of different things going on there in PGI.
Yeah, it's kind of mixed right now, because one day it seems like the hot dark water, fresh water's got them shut down, and then all of a sudden for some reason they're like, but I guess everybody's got to eat.
Yeah,
you got to eat. So yeah, one way or another they're going to feed.
It's weird to try to figure out what there's like no pattern to it. It's so random.
I think because it's just, okay, I don't feel good. Okay, well, I got to eat. And you're just going to eat. But I don't think there's a timetable set on it.
Right.
Because it's really hard to base the canal systems on the tide, because a lot of times that tide really isn't pushing up into there.
Yeah.
It really, a lot of those canals wait for just it's got to be kind of diluted out. Because while the water comes up and down, not all of it leaves the canal. You're only losing a little bit and gaining a little bit of different water each time the tide changes. And it can take weeks to actually get those canals to exchange all the water in them. That's one of the problems with the canals, is if we don't have a 2-foot exchange of water during the day, like right now, our tides are really only going about a foot difference. Right. And that's not enough to really pull the water out of those back canals. So it can take weeks to change out the water in the canals.
Right.
So anyway,
we're going to jump across over to the Port Charlotte side because it's kind of the same scenario.
It's a simile. Yeah, it's almost the same but different.
Yeah. It's a similar situation as what you're just talking about with the water exchange and everything else. So it's been really, really good in one aspect, and then the next few days, terrible. But the same species of fish, your snapper, a few oddball sand bream, black drum, but I wouldn't concentrate on it real, real hard. I'd maybe troll a lure on your way out of the canal because that never hurts to catch a jack or a snook or some other little oddball fish. But once you get out, I would just start boogieing your way south as you move over, even over towards the Myakka cutoff. Same kind of thing going on. Few snook in there, a few redfish, but they've been there one day, nothing the next. But the redfish, when they're in there, they've been doing really, really good on them. You know, there's been some good 20 to 30 inch fish right at the mouths on both the north side and the south side. And on the Hog Island side, there's been some pompano, not a lot, but enough where if you're cruising by it, might want to look.
Well, hey, you know, fishable's fishable. I mean, but no guarantees in life anyway, but that sounds like good. I enjoy fishing that area right out in front of the Myakka cutoff on the harbor end, right. South end of the cutoff. You get on that flat, find about 3 feet of water. It's still a little murky, so it's going to be really tough, but couple weeks, I don't think we're predicting any rain all week.
No, it's going to be dry for like the next five. We can actually fix our roof out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Hey, imagine that.
Wow. So we're going to get the roof fixed and not have any more leaks next year.
Hopefully.
Well, there'll be leaks. Just hopefully it'll be in a different spot.
Right.
As
you move over to the west wall, same scenario. It's fairly slow. I mean, all of your better fishing right now is by far still south.
But this is the time of year when we figure August is the worst month of the year for the upper harbor.
Right.
That is the bottom of the fishing. If you're north of Cape Hayes, August is your worst, the lowest ebb of the year. Right. Correspondingly, January, February being the best times of the year. So, it just stands to reason, we're just not quite there yet, because the rains just didn't stop yet. But we've had no hurricanes, we've had no, nothing. No snowstorms, no hurricanes, no earthquakes, no...
Yeah.
We did have one earthquake thing last summer off of Cuba. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Strange day.
No, was it Cuba or was it the one in Ohio?
No, it was the one out of Cuba that shook us. It was barely discernible up here. Sand doesn't transmit vibration. So
just opens up sinkholes.
Yeah, well, so does pumping all the water out of the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway, look at Houston. It's 10 feet lower than it was in the 1940s.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. Houston now sits in a big bowl. That's why they have such a... When you get all that rain in Texas and everything, they've pumped so much of the wells... too many wells, and they've pumped all the groundwater out, so the dirt just settled slowly over the last few decades. California, the San Joaquin Valley's 30 something feet lower than it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it's because you take all the water out, the dirt just settles down with it. But
it's gonna go and fill in the hole.
Right. But Houston's 10 feet, San Joaquin Valley is 34, 36 feet lower than it used to be.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, and they say, well, this is where we're going to grow our vegetables. Move to Tennessee, you idiot. I'm sorry, the tractor has wheels. Take it to Tennessee or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to Arkansas, for God's sakes. They get rain there.
Yeah.
Morons.
Build reservoirs and do it with that.
Yeah, and then have the government step in and say, there's a snail here that we got to let that water run out, and if that water doesn't run, the snails are going to die. Well, they ran all the water out, and everything died anyway. Now there's no water. Gotta love how the government thinks. So anyway.
Right. Yeah. I believe your theory more and more about that machine when you walk in the door.
Yeah. So anyway. We're back, and we've been talking about the Myakka cutoff. Let's go into the Myakka River itself.
It's been a little spotty and slow. Eljo Bean has been more consistent in the evenings than throughout the night.
The earlier in the morning to later at night, the better it's going to be.
Yeah.
But now one spot that actually brightened up a little bit is right up in Northport, right on where the Micah River goes under 41.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of snook activity up there right now.
Really?
Yeah, a bunch of snook up there. And I don't know about Snook Haven, how they're doing, but I know right there around 41, right on the Micah River there, there has been some actually pretty good snook fishing up there. Great time to get out and
should be some juvenile tarpon up there too.
You got to troll because
I heard about them a couple weeks ago, but I haven't heard anything since.
Yeah, that one a few years ago, we got saved, but then Sarasota County didn't, and they made the Micah River slow no wake. And
right.
You know, you got to pay attention, guys. You know, there are people always wanting to mess with you, and there was no reason for it except somebody wanted it. So they convinced the county to put that in, and there's no reason for it. There's no reason in the world to be going slow up and down the Micah River. But so now that you got to go slow, it makes perfect opportunity to go trolling. And right now, trolling's doing really well on the snook. 15 bombers are doing good. Storm twitch baits. Those would be my top two, greenback, the SIG color, greenback white belly, or in the storm, I probably go to one of the darker storms right now. I know the white one, the ghost, it's white with the gray back. The ghost is actually still number one, but I'd start looking at a different color twitch right now. But I'd definitely be pulling a 15 bomber, if not a 16. If you want that bigger fish and willing to put a little bit extra time in, put that 16 bomber on there, that big sucker. Wait for the big fish to hit, you know.
Right.
But
good time.
I say that, and I have caught the
really?
16 bomber is probably 6-7 inches long, yeah. 6.5-7, something like that. I've caught 8-inch largemouth bass on it.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've caught like 10 and 12 inch bass on it.
Yeah.
You know, I've caught 14 inch snook on it.
Yeah. They're
That's pretty
just
funny.
But that big, don't be afraid of a big lure, guys. I know the trend right now is small lures, but what that does is allow you ladyfish and trout and all the other stuff as well as the bycatch. But if you are really wanting to get into some snook, grab a 16 bomber. Put that on there. Something big, you know, decent size, 6-inch lure.
You eliminate a lot of your, like you said, your bycatch, but the end result is usually worth it.
Yeah, the end result is, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, here it is. I twitch, I live.
Yeah, exactly.
My handshake, pulse pounds.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have adrenaline flowing. It's a good thing.
Yeah, so anyway, moving down along the west side, we've pretty much covered that.
Yeah, that's a quick, easy sum up of it.
Okay, heading around the Cape.
As you are running down it, though, keep your eye out on your wake, though, because there are some pompano moving in and out.
Well,
and
the only way they're going to get to the Micah is coming up and down the sandbars.
Right, but I mean, if they happen to spook a few, because I mean, there are some moving around, and it's arbitrarily just whenever with the tide or without the tide, but they're not staying for very long at all. But it's worth at least keeping a look.
I know. I disagree. Run, get the heck away from me. Just go down the other end. Don't waste the time if you happen to see something great. But down by Cape Hayes now, the east side, the harbor side, is okay, but it seems like there's a lot more fish still on the west side.
Definitely.
I mean, a lot
better on the opposite side.
I think you're still getting that mixed water right there at Cape Hayes. That's where everything kind of blends. And the fresh water coming down the west side, the salt water coming in and out from the pass. And so as soon as you jump on the backside of that bar, again, on the Gasparilla side, the west side, it seems to pick up. And right on the bar is okay, but if you wait and get in about 5 feet of water over there, you're going to do better.
Right.
You're going to do a lot better getting in that little bit deeper water. Coming around into Turtle Bay, big monster redfish right out in front of Turtle Bay. Anything going on up inside? I know they're getting snook around the Eagle's Nest, but I can't think of anything else. A little bit of trout out in the flat.
A little bit of trout and a little bit of redfish kind of scattered out in those flats and deeper sand holes, but nothing.
It could be exciting. We're just everybody's being secretive about it because I'm not hearing anything. I'm hearing more about Bull Bay. Bull Bay is starting to come alive with a lot more fish.
Right.
Around the mouths of it, outside, around that big long bar that comes out, that school of redfish does like to feed that bar. And those are big, oversized reds. They're the parents that come in to see who's going to join the school and leave with them. But they're outside the bar. But that bar sits close enough to the pass where the redfish actually seem to be on the east side of that bar. The one that comes from the shack opening, that bar goes out about a quarter mile, half a mile. I mean, it's a long bar, but if you get on the west side of that bar, you know, different than Cape Hayes. So get on the west side of that and work that shoreline going up into that other back opening. And there's some nice fish there.
Yeah.
Getting back up in the middle of Bull Bay, some trout, some ladyfish, a few jacks, even the occasional pompano. But get a lot of snook back in there, redfish back around the bushes. But get your trolling motor as slow as you can go and pitch under the trees.
Right.
And you're going to go around an island and catch a fish or two or three. And you go around the next island and do the same thing. I don't think there's any place you can really anchor right now and catch a bunch of fish in one spot.
No.
But there's a lot of fish there. You just got to kind of hunt and search. And I don't even know if you catch one, if it's really worth stopping to see if there's more there. I think I would just keep going.
Right.
Just pretend you're bass fishing and just work it.
About the only thing I would probably stop and at least put an extra maybe minute, 30 seconds into it would be as if I got a decent redfish. Because they are kind of swimming around. There's so many weird schools scattered throughout the entire intercoastal that you got a possibility. But, I mean, I'm not going to anchor or anything like that. I'm just going to devote a couple really good, accurate casts to that one spot and see what happens. But I'm not going to devote more than one.
Moving around the backside of Cayo Costa, out towards Devilfish. You got that big pocket there right outside the Haunted Island. Ooh.
Cayo Palau.
The Haunted Island. Dig a hole.
You call back. Cayo Costa.
Oh, Cayo Palau. Sorry.
That's okay. Palau. I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
Haunted Island, Cayo Palau. Yes. Yeah. Dig a hole. It's different in a different spot when you come back, you know.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, all island. I mean, all the little history to it and everything else.
The weird thing is they're great treasure hunter islands because Cayo Palau was the second settlement ever done in this area. The first one was down at USAPA, but the people who didn't get along there or were kicked out ended up going to live on Cayo Palau. And it was literally a mini town there. I don't think there was ever a lot of residents, but you had a town there and shacks and people. And if you don't have banks, you know, you can't go deposit your money in a bank and you're not going to give it to your buddy because he's going to, you know, spend it, get drunk or whatever. But if you're going out on a ship or you're doing something, you just dig a hole, bury it. Hopefully nobody finds it. Well, if you don't come back, and a lot of them didn't, you know, maybe they got a ride somewhere else or maybe they died. But we found flintlocks there.
I was just going to say, I mean, that one customer's.
Yeah.
You know, he gave me a little musket ball that he found there. That
couple of
I was 10. And there's coins
and, you know, but it's one of those things where you just keep your eye open. We were fishing there one day, and he saw it before I did, and of a musket sticking out of the sand.
Wow.
Just, he says, it looks like a gun. I'm like, where? Son of a gun.
That would have been wild.
Yeah, so anyway, there is buried treasure of sorts. I wouldn't, don't get in your head a iron-bound wooden box with a big padlock on it, you know, it's... By buried treasure, I mean a
little purse. You're not going to find the Atosha there.
Yeah, four coins in it, or two coins, or something, you know, or a coin laying somewhere, or a gun, or musket balls. But on that area in the backside of Cayo Palau, it is a favorite for redfish to kind of cruise through there. Mm-hmm. If you're around the area, it's worth swinging around the outside. Go over towards Devilfish. The fishing's better over at Devilfish. There's a lot of bait over there, and
you've said it a million times, and. There again, Devilfish is a popular spot for guys to catch bait, so it's always chummed up there. So the varieties of stuff that you can catch without having to move.
Yeah, I mean, catch your bait and spend a minute fishing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous, put that much chum in the water, catch the bait, call your live wells, do all this other kind of stuff, and then go, I'm going to go somewhere else and look for fish?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, now, who came up with that one? Had to be a captain. It has to be a charter boat captain. So, anyway, heading north along the Tailing Flats there, getting over to Widden Creek and all the islands up through there. Got a lot of small snook there. Not a lot of major ones, but a lot of good snook fishing through there.
Right.
The water actually is getting cleaner and cleaner out there. A lot more salt.
Temperatures dumping, too, out there because of this wind, finally. That first cold front just did nothing. This cold front will do a little bit because there's been some wind associated with it to help cool it just slightly. So you are going to see some more snook moving around through there, but it's not going to happen instantly.
Well, fishandfranks.com, live weather, fishandfranks.com, weather and tides, live weather. Right now on the intercoastal is blowing 8 miles an hour the north-northwest, and there's no real gusting to it, but yeah, it got a low this morning, but the high right now is only up to like 75. So the water temp is going to be pretty good. They don't have a water temp on here. Boy, I wish they did. But
yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go down and hit the Gulf surface temps here on that weather and tide page and see what we're looking at. Go ahead and go Placida.
Yeah, as you work your way up to Placida, now Placida's been pretty okay during the day. It's one of the little bit more consistent spots for daytime shorebound anglers. Been a few Spanish mackerel in there, a few bluefish, lots of ladyfish. Mangrove snapper have been fair, but there's definitely been a better bite at night for the mangrove snapper. Snook fishing at night has been really pretty darn good. A lot of small snook, but at least it's consistent. Occasional redfish coming through there. There has been quite a few little black-nosed sharks and some bonnet heads cruising around there too lately. That's probably about it. You had a bunch of stone crabbers out there diving two nights ago because season opened. So there were some guys working that entire trestle line. So that kind of spooked some of the fish around, made them a little slower bite. But by this weekend, it should get nice and calm and be a little bit back more into normal. as you move up past Placida there, going up towards Lemon Bay, your one school of redfish has still been kind of moving in and out right there just north of the entrance to Eldred's.
Just to interlude for a minute, now in St. Pete, the water temperature is 82.2. In Naples, it's 83.8. So you've got 82 to 84 degrees. So that puts us at 81 degrees, or let's see, 82 degrees. And normal for this time of year is we're just 1 or 2 degrees below normal.
Right. Which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But having that little temperature drop, dip down just a slight bit, that's enough to really start to get those fish kind of more excited, you know, to move off the beaches. You'll get some of those fish that are going to start to show up, like kings will be on their way very shortly. Sheep's head should start showing up on the near shore reefs, all that good stuff. So it's a lot of cool changes going on over the next probably 2 weeks.
By the end of this month, it's supposed to be in the high 70s, like 78 degrees, dropping to 70 in November, and then going into the 60s. But average temp for this time of year, 2, 3, 4, it would be about just going into the month at about 80, coming out of it at about 78.
Right.
That's about what our normal temps would be.
Which is cool. Which, that I mean, literally, like, in a neat sense.
So, anyway, just to give you an idea of what's going on, where we should be. But Lemon Bay, quickly, what's going on up there?
Lemon Bay has been sporadic. There's been a lot, not a lot, but some decent trout starting to kind of show up, that they're very much individual fish scattered out there on those flats out there in, like, 5 feet of water, 6 feet of water with the guys that are just drifting around.
What's going on right in the intercoastal channel as it goes through Lemon Bay? Is that pompano and mackerel, or is it just...
More pompano than mackerel. The mackerel seem to be really concentrated right near the passes, and they're following that incoming tide and then boogieing right back out for some reason. But the pompano started to become a little bit more consistent throughout the whole intercoastal and out along the beaches. Been a few oddball bluefish showing up. The whiting bite just south of Stump Pass in the intercoastal has been really, really good. I had a gentleman in here yesterday, day before yesterday, and he caught like 30 whiting, and his biggest one was like a pound and a half. Pretty good whiting.
That's nice.
You know.
All good.
Yeah. Other than that, it's been a little sporadic, so the water is a little bit cleaner up there because they have less rivers and creeks and streams feeding them like we do. So if you're looking for a little cleaner, clearer water out along the beaches or anything like that, that's definitely the place to be. If you get right near the passes, it's pretty dark water.
All right, how's it going down through the passes? A week ago, I know Boca Grande had some keeper gags in it, some snappers, a lot of smaller gags. Captiva, I don't know what's going on Boca. Has anything changed?
About the same. I mean, the mangrove snapper bite's still been real consistent. The water is super black there right now. I mean, on an outgoing tide, it's black all the way out to the 6 mile buoy. It's real black. But they have been getting a few sharks moving through there, mostly smaller guys. the gags have been more on the smaller side. I mean, last week we heard about the more legal ones, but this week I've only heard of a couple like 20, 21 inchers, nothing legal.
Right.
Same way down in Captiva. I have heard of some bigger redfish down there, though, in Captiva Pass with some pretty good mangrove snapper bite. The Spanish mackerel bite down there has been more steady. The one up in Boca Grande and Little Gasparilla, they've been more ladyfish with some Spanish mixed in with them, but Captiva Pass seems to have better concentration on that incoming tide with those Spanish macs.
What is Redfish Pass doing?
Redfish Pass, I honestly have not heard a thing this
week. Anything from Ponderosa?
Nope. Okay. I have not heard a thing at all down there other than right around St. James City. The tarpon are still doing okay right there along the intercoastal.
Right.
And there's been a couple like small schools of redfish. The guy said he wasn't catching like hundreds of them, but he'd catch like five or six. Move down to the next sand hole, the next little trough, catch three or four, and they were all oversized. He was catching them in the 30 to 33 inch range. He didn't catch anything bigger than 33, but he stayed steady at it all day. Ended up with, I think, like 21 redfish. He said it was his best redfish day of his life. You know, so he was pretty stoked.
Yeah. That's really cool.
The guy from Stick It that comes around, he was in, and he said the tarpon fishing's still been pretty consistent down there. Pulling off a few, not great, but you know, putting three or four fish in the air and getting one to the boat in a 4 to 6 hour trip, seeing fish. So it's still
better
worthwhile
than they do in season.
Exactly.
I got a lot of captains. I would say 50% of the captains go out and don't, you know, on a tarpon trip in 6 hours and don't put a fish in the air. So that's really good.
Absolutely.
So I think a lot of it has to do with there's not as many people doing it right now.
Exactly.
So they don't get the pressure. They're not as spooky. They're more relaxed, more willing to feed. And it's kind of a, if you guys are tarpon fishermen and you're listening to this, right now is a more iffy time to come for the tarpon. But when they're there, it's much easier to catch them. They're not as wary. And when you come in peak season, there's so many people trying to do it, it does make things more difficult. But we're moving our way up along Pine Island Flat in the intercoastal. We get a lot of the intercoastal waterway there behind Cayo Costa and Captiva and all them. A lot of mackerel over there, a little bit of pompano, and it just kind of holds through that section there on Pine Island Sound for the redfish and all that. But getting back out, let's take a trip out into the Gulf. What's, you know, we've got that 80 degree water temperature, 81 degree. Are we changing?
Well, I mean, obviously the last 2 days have been crappy weather, but prior to that, there was a couple of guys getting out there. Gags are just now starting to get a few more reports on them, but most of those gags that are being caught are guys that are actually trolling for them. Trolling for them with the stretch 30s right now has been...
Man, we got to get those bomber pink and green ones back in.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I think we just I looked and I didn't see any, and I know it's ridiculous, but
that
you got to figure
is crazy.
Yeah, that pink and that stupid green. I don't even know what to call the green.
Yeah, it's not a chartreuse and it's not a lime. It's not a yellow. It's
a weird pink and some kind of green. It's the ugliest looking lure you ever seen. But for some reason, other fish seem to like it.
Yep.
I would definitely, if you're going to try trolling for grouper, you got a good chance at the big oversized redfish and grouper and who knows what.
Possibly a king or a cobia. I mean, the kings are starting to trickle in a little bit out there, but we're still right at the early time.
Most 68 to 72 degrees for best king mackerel.
Right. You get out there at about 30 miles, now you start to see some more kings, because that's kind of a consistent area throughout the early fall. The weird part is the bonita haven't been out there. The mackerel, the Spanish mac's been incredible from about 3 miles out to like 15 miles, but no bonita. Really just kind of strange. The mangrove snapper bite and the lane snapper bite, still crazy. I mean, literally from 3 miles to 15 miles, it's very, very, very well worth it.
Yes.
Few mixed reports of some flounder being caught as bycatch. An oddball sheep's head, but that still hasn't started to pop yet. What else is going on? One guy got into some chicken dolphin out there at about 35 miles.
Wow. I always like hearing, I don't know why, but that mahi-mahi kind of gets me going when I hear that out there.
Yeah, and I like that.
Yeah, I don't really get why I get more excited about it, because I never get a chance to do it, but I think it's just because I'd like to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, and you've done it, and it's been a good time when you've done it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I really don't know why it kind of hits me that way, but I really would like to be able to get out there and do it.
Yeah. Starting to
got
get some
moderate
big
waves in the Gulf for the next few days. I'm not seeing anything over 2 foot for the next few days. We're looking by Monday of next week, we're looking at some 4 footers. But
so the wind's going to pick up a little bit?
Yeah, the 12th, 13th, 14th. Yeah. By the 14th, you're looking at a little bit more waves out there. But
you're in November? Or?
No, October.
Because we're on the 17th.
We're on the 17th. Why is this telling me 13th? Click any station to get the forecast. Why is it? Stop. Refresh yourself. I don't know what's.
It's a government website.
Yeah, it's a government website. So
it's locked up.
Yeah, it's not giving me anything past the 14th.
I mean, they weren't really calling for too much wind over the next couple of days, so I'd imagine it's probably laying down out there pretty well. But I give up with that kind of stuff sometimes.
Yeah, it's simply calling for 1 to 2s. That's all it's calling for. Yeah, I had to go to a printed one to get anything out of it.
Okay.
So
there's been some, you know, a few schools, like you were talking about, some bigger redfish out there. Been hearing of a couple of those every now and then where guys are seeing them pop up and then disappearing real quick. There has been some bigger black tips, though, chasing some of those schools of Spanish mackerel around out there.
They're always fun. If you can get chasing another bunch of fish, I mean, if you've ever seen a school of bonita or jacks or whatever feeding on fish where they're coming out of the water and just going ballistic crazy, literally so much splashing, it seems to raise the level of the water around them. Now, picture that with sharks.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of terrifying, really. I've seen it.
Yeah. I don't know.
It makes me nervous.
It doesn't make me nervous. It gets me really excited.
Oh, it makes me super excited, but I still get a little nervous at times.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to push the whoosh button on that.
I will. Yeah. I'll admit it.
Yeah, because, I got to tell you, to me, it's just an adrenaline rush.
It's like watching that shrimp boat this summer and watching those bull sharks feeding around that. I mean, I was super excited, but I actually got, for the first time, genuinely, like, I got a little, like, of that, oh, crap feeling.
Yeah.
And it was just, I don't know why.
I think because you think about it.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
I mean, I was enjoying the moment. It was a National Geographic moment, but it's just like something about it genuinely
right.
kind of made me.
Scared you.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get that because we tend to think about stuff, and then when you think about all the possibilities, and they're all real,
yeah,
as far-fetched as they
realistic.
Are, but they're, you know, you're sitting there and you're watching all these teeth and these massive bodies and stuff. And the only thing you want to keep in mind out there, boys and girls, is 99.999% of the time, human shark meat, shark has a bad day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
exactly. Very seldom does it go the other way. So, anyway, but coming back inside, we talked about them. Any reports from the Coosahatchee?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Okay.
A lot of black water coming out of there.
Yeah, I haven't even looked on the water flow for the Coosahatchee. I don't know it as well as I know the Peace River. So,
right.
If you're going to look on fishandfranks.com, go to weather and tides, and at the bottom of that page I have all the rivers, but you're just going to have to kind of take an average, maybe make some notes for yourself and figure out where it goes up and down, because the Coosahatchee is so wide that it doesn't do the huge variance
right.
like the Peace River does, where we have 12-foot differences. You know, it just doesn't get that way, but it's harder for me to read.
Plus, you have to watch the Army Corps engineers who mess with the locks, you know,
how far they open the locks up, and
if they open them all the way, or did they only open them 30%? You know, what are they doing that particular day?
You're right. It's just the Coosahatchee is a nightmare to read.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming back up through the harbor, Jug Creek Shoal, still a lot of bait there.
That's almost identical to Devilfish. I mean, the bait, the snapper, the snook, the redfish, the bluefish, little sharks. I mean, It's been pretty consistent there.
And middle of the harbor is something we really haven't gone over too much.
The middle of the harbor, I mean, the tarpon are ate up throughout the center of the harbor, but from Cape Hayes out to Boca Grande Pass, the lot of little black-nosed sharks, an occasional lemon. The Spanish are moving in with that incoming tide and then disappearing right back out. Getting a few scattered reports of some spade fish, though, over there at the Cape Hayes Reef and over at Marker 5.
Spade fish are so much fun to catch.
First report I've had in a couple weeks, though. It's kind of weird, you know, and it was two different
people. I usually don't expect them until it's chilly.
And me too, but it was just kind of weird, you know, because, I mean...
But nobody tells the fish when they're supposed to be here. They're kind of going to do what they're going to do. Yeah. It would be nice if we could get some bigger ones, like they get out in the Atlantic.
Oh, yeah, like they get off the Carolinas. Jacksonville has a real good killer population of them.
Boy, it sure would, because they're a lot of fun to catch. Absolutely. Good eating, pain to clean, pain in the butt to clean, but not bad eating. And just don't let the color of the meat mess with your brain, because it looks like it'd be really strong and fishy, but it's actually not.
Right, so that's what I've been told.
Yeah, it's not bad. I used to eat them.
Yeah,
and I don't like fishy tasting fish, so right. I'm real meticulous when I clean them and how I cook them and everything, because it's very healthy to catch, kill, cook your own fish.
Yeah,
you know, that's the best way to do it. I mean, it's always better when you know everything it's been through.
Plus, and you know if it was dropped on the floor.
Yeah, and you know if it's how it's been inspected. You know, you inspect it, make sure it's healthy before you know open sores, stuff like that.
Right.
And the meat is usually always pretty good. Just everything in moderation. A little bit of fish, a little bit of beef, a little bit of chicken, a little bit of pork. You know, if you mix everything up, life is good.
There you go.
So, anyway, coming back up, we've got Alligator Creek Reef and the deep holes of the harbor. What's going on at the reef?
The Alligator Creek Reef has still been a little sporadically slow. There's been a few oddball cobia being there, but most of them are on the short side. Mangrove snapper have been kind of steady. Incidental, I mean, it's been a little odd every now and then with the mangrove snapper there, and I think it's because of the influx of the fresh water. Even though we get that good salt moving up through the east side, it still has been a little on the funky side.
It's normal this time of year. Yeah. It's a hit or miss. You're as likely to get Goliath grouper / Jewfish, you know, same fish, two stupid names, or some gags or some black drum or some spadefish or some mangrove snappers. There's so many possibilities there. It's just you and them both deciding you want to fish for them and they want to eat at the same time.
Right.
Because the fish are there. It's just getting them to agree with your scenario. That's right. The hard part. We never talk about the rubber tire reef. And I think because nobody really fish anymore, there's no reef there, just the markers combine the reef.
Right.
But I haven't heard of anything.
I always stop by there when I'm out there. I don't care if I'm looking for tarpon or shark. I always love going by there because I see triple tail at the markers because I still got the markers up there. I've seen triple tail. I can't catch a triple tail to save my life, but... always see triple tail there, and I always see cobia there, and I've hooked a couple really nice cobia there before, so
it would be so great if they would use that as a dumping place for the ghost crab traps, the cleanup crab traps. Cut holes in them, drop them all there, and there's about 15 feet of mud, but after years of doing it, we can actually build a reef there.
Right, and it's already marked as a reef. It's already marked as a reef. It's already been preordained as a reef. So what are they going to do?
Oh, I forget how many hundreds of rubber tires there that, you know, sunk into the mud. They just didn't count on the muck there. But if that muck only goes down about 14 feet, then you hit hardened bottom.
Right.
And so we just have to put enough stuff in there to stop, you know, the sinking, and it will. I mean, we just got to keep going with it.
Right.
But, you know, it's one thing that won't be done legally.
Common sense. Yeah, exactly.
If it happens, it won't be a legal action.
Right.
It'll be bandit in the middle of the night. You wear the black mask around your eyes and your nose. No one will ever know who you are.
No one will ever see that white boat floating around out there.
No, as long as you put a mask on, you know, cover your eyes and your nose, and no one will ever be able to tell who you are.
Nice. I like it.
Hey, I got to tell you, the Green Lantern did it.
This is true.
You know, Batman, he didn't have much. You know, cover up those cheekbones and those eyes, you know, cover across the nose. Superman got away with it with a curl.
Yeah, exactly. As I was just going to say, all he did was slick back his hair and put a little whoop in it.
Yeah, he did, he put a curl down his forehead and some grease in his hair, and he was Superman, you know. So, and you just couldn't tell it was Clark Kent.
Not at all.
So anyway, so if you remember, if you're doing illegal activities like that, slick your hair back, curl one curl down in front of your forehead, no one will ever figure it out.
Right.
So, you know, there's no satellites that can pierce that identity protection.
Never.
So anyway, God, where we get off on this?
Yeah, I know. The segues that we
thinking myself, Frank, you've lost it. I mean, I've really pulled some bad shows before, but, you know, this is really kind of going there. Anyway, let me see where
east
we're
side.
At. What did we forget?
East Side.
Oh, the East Side.
We haven't done the East Side at all.
Okay.
That'll be the final spot.
So, Robert, what's happening on the East Side?
Well, let's see. Nothing. Oh, no.
Nothing. I know stuff's happening on the East Side.
From Alligator Creek down to Pirate Harbor, it's still real spotty. There are fish there. You know, the snook and the redfish are under the bushes, out on the flats. A few oddball trout. But really, once you hit just above Pirate Harbor, you start to see more concentrations of bait.
And we're going to call it spotty, but we're going to call it one heck of a spot if you find them. Because that's unbelievable fishing. I mean, the time of your life, best day you're ever going to have fishing if you're out there on that bar and can find some of those schools of fish. The redfish, there's snook there. There's all kinds of stuff there. You do have to find them. You do have to figure it out.
Yeah.
But
man, it's an area the size of a football field that's moving around.
Yeah, so, and kinda, but wow. Yeah. I mean, literally, oh my goodness. Goodness gracious, it is spectacular.
Exactly.
If you can find them, big schools of fish. There's been some white bait down around there, and right now that's going to be your key. I would probably take a little bit of shrimp with you just in case.
Yeah.
But right now you're really going to want to get some white bait, and don't do a lot of chumming. If you find the schools of fish, the chum's almost going to be anti-catching. So a few freebies, but mostly make sure you got hooks in them and a leash on that bait.
Right.
You know, cast it on the line and get them into the schools and hook up. Don't try and, because whether you chum or you don't chum, they're only going to stay so long, and then they're going to start moving.
Right.
And the hard part is just following them.
Right.
And getting, because if they had
trying up, to be stealthy enough and at the right speed, the whole nine yards, there's a lot of little things going for you and against you.
And if you miss them and you know they went that way, let it get a ways away, pack up, get out, jump up on plane, go a half a mile. I mean, literally travel, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, pull in, anchor up, and wait for them to come to you again.
Right.
Because they will continue in that direction. They're not going to turn around and come back usually. Usually, if I lose them, I'll wait 5-10 minutes. If they don't come back, then I'm jumping the boat up, and I'm going down half, three-quarters of a mile and stopping again. If you go too quick, keep in mind basic Sesame Street. If the fish are moving at 2 miles an hour, and in a half an hour they went a mile away, so you've got 15 minutes, so you've got to go at least a half a mile, if not three quarters of a mile, to get ahead of them again.
Yeah.
If you only go down a couple hundred yards, they're still past you already.
Yeah, you're still casting into their mud trail.
Yeah, so you've got to actually make a run. When you decide to, okay, I'm going to reset for those fish, you know, figure out how if you're going 20 miles an hour, that's 10 miles and a half an hour, or that's 5 miles and 15 minutes, you know, do some Sesame Street thinking and figure on those fish moving at least a mile an hour, at least.
Right.
So if you haven't caught any for 15 minutes and they're moving a mile, they're a quarter mile down.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go a half a mile. And if you think they're moving faster than that, compensate. But you actually have to get back to Sesame Street and going, okay, one plus one is two. Yes. But you can't just go, well, how far could they move? I just told you how far they could move.
Exactly.
So, you know, keep those things in mind. If you want to do a little more calmer fishing, get back around the Keys, the islands on the east side, and there's some snook around the islands. You've got a couple of oddball, almost anything. I mean, you could catch a sheephead. You could catch almost anything back there around those islands. There's some really cool fishing. And
been
what
a lot
I would
of small
do
small little jacks over there too.
Yeah, like find little, a little bay. Guys. And if you don't have an anchor, it's the east side's way better because unlike Bull Bay, where you're going to have to move around those islands, you can almost pull up in a little cove, just kind of push pull the boat there or slow trolling motor, anchor up, put your stick at pin end, stop outside that bay. Don't let your boat get into the bay. Right. Make sure you can cast around the shoreline on both sides. If you can't reach the shorelines, you can get close enough to cast to it, but don't get closer than a really good cast, right, and you're going to have some good times back there. So, anything else we need to talk about?
Not that I can really think of. I mean, it's you know, we've said it a couple different times. Fishing, when it's good, it's been really, really good. But your timings, you got to have the fish gods on your side. I mean, it's still good fishing, but there's some phenomenal fishing going on. Just, it's got to be a luck thing.
All right. Well, you know, for those of you who like to read this, we're going to be, I guess, wrapping up our radio fishing thing here, and we're going to get on to the place-by-place fishing report, try and get all that typed in. Oh, my favorite job, typing. So, yeah, you know, that's why I love radio fishing. I don't have to type it. Very minimal typing. So, anyway, just because I feel like a little happier mood here.
And meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade setting in the shade.
I feel fresh as a lemonade setting in the shade.
Whether it's cool, oh, what a spot for whistling like a fool. What a fine day to take a stroll and wander by the fishing hole. I can't think of a better way to pass the time of day.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get a little bit bigger, better clip of that song.
I like that a lot.
I don't know, just always, if that doesn't bring a smile to your face.
And I've heard that a few different times, but I just heard the line with the skipping stones. I never heard that part of it before, never registered anyway. It's just good little lyrics. I like it.
I remember skipping stones.
Oh, I love doing that. That was a blast.
And, you know, rest in peace, old Andy. I mean, you know, what a cool old dude. No time for sergeants. Right. Hello. Anyway, if you ever wonder where I got that line, I'm that old. Okay. Anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. And we're getting back a little more regular. We're trying. My health's getting better. I'm getting stronger every day. Anyway, we'll see you guys.
Your space pants.
Yeah. So, we will see you guys on the next Radio Fishing.